Hey guys, this is Hayes from Optic, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello and welcome, everyone, to a new edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 70, coming at you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The time, 8:18 p.m. Central. The date, August 9th, 2017. We have a wonderful show for you planned this evening. Dare I say, the best episode ever. We're going to touch on the TI, update you on what's been going on there, get Anuj's and Brett's opinions on it, because this is really their first one they're ever watching. It's going to be a short e-news with Counter-Strike and all those rumor veils going. We won't beat you down all the time about it. So we got that in e-news for you. And to start the show, we will have a grab bag of Overwatch topics. That's right. The rare episode without Counter-Strike being a main discussion. So if that's your thing, I'm sorry. We're a variety esports podcast. It's what happens.
It's what we do.
That's why we're number three on Google. So it's
Google
it's
us, bro.
Google us. Look it up. Follow the show on Twitter, at The Center Ring. Hit us up on our website, tcr.gg. And you'll find everything else there. But I'll introduce the crew. I am Tim. Alongside me is Anuj.
What's up, buddy?
What's up? And that other delicate voice you heard was Brett. Hello, Brett.
I'm so delicate.
The gentle giant.
Let's get into the show here, gentlemen, because like I said, we have quite a bit to get to as far as just a variety of topics going, with Counter-Strike still being in the midst of their off season. It's kind of slowed down. The rumorville in Counter-Strike has slowed down. Like I said, we'll probably bring it up next week. Hopefully some more happens. We'll discuss a little bit later on in e-news, but that gives us opportunities to focus on other esports that we enjoy, such as Overwatch. They got the World Cup going on. It seems like every week now there's at least something going on with the Overwatch League. Where do you guys want to start first? Do you want to start with the World Cup, or do you want to start with the Overwatch League?
Let's go with the World Cup.
All right, let's go with the World Cup. Brett, you have been watching this pretty closely. Our buddy Alchemist of the show is producing it, so
it's always fun to see him on Twitter posting behind-the-scenes stuff.
And yeah, you can follow him on Twitter. He's the producer for Overwatch League. He produces a lot of esports things, and he is great at it, despite what... let's say this. If there is something wrong with observing or you have opinions, tweet him.
Oh, 100%.
I hear every time the stream goes down, it's his fault. So tweet at Alchemist, and he'll be able to fix it. I'm sure.
Yeah, totally.
I'm sure that is the case.
You're welcome, buddy.
Yeah, he'll respond quickly.
So you have
or at
this...
least like your tweet.
Yeah, at least like it. Yeah, he likes everything. So you have the Overwatch World Cup going on. So far, what's this? 2, 4, 6 of the contenders going into the quarterfinals have been established. Starting from the very beginning in the Shanghai qualifier, you had China number one and France. China came out of Group A. France came out of Group B. Or the entire Rogue roster. Kind of takes a little lackluster from the World Cup status when the entire France roster is the actual team of Rogue.
Hey, you know, but the best five.
It's the best five, I guess. You can argue that. I don't know. How do you feel about that, Brett?
I mean, I don't mind it. I don't see this like an actual like Olympic event or World Cup where it's amateur players. No one wants to see that. I mean, I don't mind pros playing.
I'd say
in these
with
matches.
This being the second World Cup and the first one really not counting in the sense of best players. The first 2016 World Cup, I mean, that's just
it was a joke. We all talked about it.
We made fun of it, and it kind of just ignore it.
Let's, I would much rather see pros
forget
than
that
like
that first one ever happened last year.
A bunch
year.
Of streamers playing.
So
know?
This is like the first actual World Cup with pros and everything there. And I guess I side with you. If you're going to get the best players, and it just so happens to be that the best players are the number one in the world, and they're all French, then that's just the way the cookie crumbles.
There's going right. to be a favorite either way. So
eventually, I hope to see that kind of broken down, especially when you get the Overwatch League, because that's when nationalities are going to start splitting and everything there. But moving on, you had the Sydney qualifier where Sweden and Australia, both coming out of Group C, ended up coming out of that qualifier there. That's kind of cool to see Australia come out in home country. Same thing with China. It actually seems like the whole home country has favored in all of these qualifiers, except for last weekend's, which was Katowice qualifier in Poland, where Poland, let me see what they ended up getting. Do you recall, Brett, off the top of your head, they did not
1-0 and 2.
Is that what it was? Yep.
Yeah.
So Poland did not really show up in the home country, but it's not their fault, ladies and gentlemen. Let's not blame the Polacks for their poor performance.
They gave it the old college try.
They were in Group E, which was, I mean, you don't really, it doesn't really matter who's in your group. South Korea is in your group. Defending champions of World Cup 2016, and they are a different type of breed. They dominate the Overwatch scene as far as execution and play style goes. I know, Brett, during our, in our little show chat that we talked throughout the week, you were kind of laughing that they just kind of say F the meta and do what they want.
Yeah, I mean, at one point, at the beginning of King's Row on defense, I think they ran a Junkrat, a Widowmaker, and a Hanzo all in just one push. So, I mean, it's like those are all the troll picks, right? And like when you play a ranked match, but to them, it's like, we're going to kick your butt with this and screw the meta, you know? I enjoyed it. I loved it.
To branch off of that, too, this is one thing, and this is my opinion in just NA esports in general. This branches over to Counter-Strike. It branches over to whatever, right? You name it. I think this is the case. Street Fighter, right? FGC games, anything like this. NA esports are always behind the curve. You never hear about an NA team creating the meta or finding some new jumping spot or anything like that, you know, a new smoke to bust out.
To be fair, it's like 90% Koreans in all of the games, though, right? That like are number one. So it's not just the U.S. that's a little bit behind. Besides Counter-Strike,
who do you see do all the new crazy jumps?
Yeah, it's the Europeans
overpass.
In that game. The Europeans tend to be like
right
good in that. But again, Europeans doesn't count. Like, look at the U.K. for example. Like, the U.K. scene is horrendous. Like, they're joking.
Yeah,
about.
But I don't even consider. Well, I'm talking when it comes to NAEU CIS and China and Korea.
The Asias.
Yes.
The Asias always tend to do, like, they represent almost in
no
every
offense.
Game. It's, yeah, it's kind of
no
crazy.
No offense. But South Korea is one of those where, I mean, watch the Apex seasons. I think season 4 is actually starting soon for Apex. And you'll constantly see them play around with the meta. And I've always wanted to ask a pro Overwatch player, and I'm always curious, and during practice, how much do you think they actually practice off meta? Like, trying to create a new thing? Because you see the pro matches, and a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times, you'll see the same group of guys every time. Tracer,
yeah.
Genji, D.Va, Lucio, because
they
Mercy,
all have like set abilities in that whatever. Game, right? Yeah. So it's different than like a CS where you're finding smoke spots and things like that. Like, you know which characters are overpowered in the game, and that information is kind of shared amongst everybody.
But again, I don't think it's so much as overpowered, because you have guys now like Reaper, where maybe not at a pro level, but I think if a pro learned how to abuse him, he could easily become an anti-Winston, which is all over the pro meta.
And maybe there's like other characters that have a lot of counters. You know, they hold a lot of counters, or, you know, play the game in a certain style that other people can't do. So maybe that's why you tend to see them more.
Yeah, I actually saw Reaper picked a lot in that in the last group stage, the Katowice.
And do you remember who was picking him though? I'm curious.
I mean, it was mostly like teams that were getting destroyed, like Turkey.
Right. The lesser of the teams there.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing here is Canada in Group F, they actually got to do a tiebreaker against Russia where the loser had to play South Korea. So you actually had a rematch in the semifinals of these groups going at it. You actually had a rematch of last year's World Cup, South Korea versus Russia. South Korea ended up destroying them 3-0. So that tiebreaker between Canada and Russia were huge when you're basically deciding who is going to move on.
Is U.S. favored in their group?
Well, I'll get to that in a second. It's, I think out of all of the groups, that is going to be the toughest qualifier to truly say who's going to come out. I think they're favored, but at the same time, I'm pessimistic, and I could see them failing.
Against UK or like I feel
well,
like
they have what Taiwan, Brazil, and New Zealand
right,
in their group.
Right. Yeah, and we'll get that into the second. I just want to say one more fun fact about South Korea, just because I was in awe watching them. They first off didn't lose a single match, and as far as rounds go, they lost 2. The entire time. 1 to Poland and 1 to Russia.
Damn.
That is how dominant they were.
Yep.
Now, moving on to the Santa Monica qualifier, which is this weekend, right? I'm not crazy, right? This weekend?
Yeah, I think it is.
Weekend. The 11th. The 11th through the 13th.
Alchemist is in California right now. So.
Okay, yeah. So that is this weekend here, the Santa Monica qualifier. That is where you have Group G and Group H. Group G has the United States, Taiwan, Brazil, and New Zealand. I think in their one group, they're pretty much favored.
Yeah.
The only downside is Group H, where you have the UK, Germany, Israel, and Belgium. Germany worries me. They have Internet Hulk. They have some bigger names on that team. You have UK, who's got, you know, Boombox. The UK going into this is ranked number 6. According to Liquipedia, U.S. is 3, the third seed, and Germany is actually ranked 11th, which I feel is a bit low for them. But, I mean, I'm not as in tuned with the international scene for Dota as I should be.
They take the top 2 from each of those groups and throw them in a semifinals.
In a semifinals, and then anything can go.
The two teams that win are the
right.
two that qualify
so you don't
the last
have,
two slots.
You don't necessarily have to have someone from group. Like, I don't think
so
anyone
when
made
you
it
go
out
to
of
the
group
semis.
B.
Is it just by points how they do them 1 through 4? Do you know?
I do not know. That's what I was trying to figure out. And even Liquipedia just says they go to the playoffs.
Okay, so maybe like U.S. could play Taiwan again, for
right.
example,
yeah.
from their group.
However that works. I honestly, looking here, I would say it's the United States and Germany's qualifier to lose. I understand the U.K. is ranked higher. Maybe someone who is more attuned to their scene can explain that to me. I just, looking at it, I don't see that being possible. I would say it's United States and Germany. I mean, you have Jake on US. He plays for Luminosity. I don't know. I've looking at this, Brett, what do you think? I'm curious on your opinion, because it seems like it should be an easy win, but it also seems like one that they could easily let go. Like, if Germany and UK somehow managed to get by.
Yeah, I mean, you have your two powerhouses, China and South Korea, and I'd agree with you. Yeah, I feel like they're the favorite. But, I mean, beyond just those two teams, I mean, anything can happen. I don't really feel like they're just, like, overwhelming, you know, an overwhelming favorite. But, you know, we'll see.
I don't know. The talent drop-off right now for the Overwatch World Cup is so bad. Like, how many 4-0s, 3-0s did we see?
Yeah, no, I believe I texted you about that.
Okay,
like,
so here, like, you want to see this right now? This is just looking at last week's Katowice qualifier, okay? Mm-hmm. In Group E, yeah. Netherlands, 4-0'd Poland. South Korea, 4-0'd Austria. Yeah. 4-0'd Poland. Netherlands, 4-0'd Austria. Korea, 4-0'd Netherlands. Poland, 4-0'd Austria.
Gosh.
Literally every game in that group last week.
Nothing was a blowout. I mean, nothing was close. Nothing was a close match. Yeah.
Nothing.
So, so it carries over into other sports too, because I feel like even like the soccer World Cup, you get, you know, groups like that where it's just one team's just getting dominated. No game is close. It's because, you know,
that's what the group stage is designed for.
This is where it gets
for.
Fun, you know. Yeah. Now it's where it gets real. You have all these teams playing each other, and we'll start to enjoy some better competition.
In any World Cup or international event, I feel like the group stage is there just because.
Well, it's designed to have two stronger teams generally and two middle of the pack.
But the group stage is there just for formality purposes.
Yeah.
I mean,
to allow for upsets, right? You have that occasional upset. That's what makes it exciting.
The occasional, but it's no Swiss format when it comes to upsets.
No. Jeez, no.
And then even then in Group F, the only teams that were 2-2 were Russia and then Singapore and Turkey. The only ones that even tied games in there. The rest, Canada, 4-0. So they had two matches out of the six in Group F that even wasn't a 4-0. So that's four out of the 12 possible matches for Group E and F were complete 4-0 blowouts from last week alone. I don't know if that creates the best spectating. Maybe people like blowouts. Like we said, you're not really looking for the top talent right now in group stages. But after this weekend, we will know who is moving on to the quarterfinals officially. Now, if Liquipedia's brackets make any sense, I think if U.S. gets number one, then they have to play South Korea. I think. If, like I said, if Liquipedia...
So win, but don't win too much.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, get second.
Yeah.
And then you get to play Canada. So the difference is South Korea or Canada. Oh. Now,
that doesn't make sense though. Wait, why would a top seed in one tournament?
I'm just going off of Liquipedia, dog.
Okay.
Fact check me. I could be completely off base. Either way,
Googling this stuff now.
Either way, looking at this though, you'd want to play Canada because though they do have Sherfor, they do have XQC, they have really good talent. But it's not South Korea. That's what you want to avoid, is South Korea.
Make Junkrat valid again, South Korea.
So that leaves us with the Overwatch League, where we just have to kind of keep an eye on it this weekend, and we'll discuss it next week as far as the results and who USA hopefully will be playing.
The World Cup.
In the World Cup. Now, as far as the Overwatch League, like I said, it seems like every week there's at least rumors now, which is good.
We have sources officially.
Before there were never even rumors with the Overwatch League. You just got what you got from Blizzard every like month, and that was it.
Exciting news for us.
It is pretty cool. So we are based in Dallas, and it is rumored that Envious is going to become the Austin-Dallas team. So much like, which Florida?
Miami-Orlando.
Miami-Orlando. They are combining a team for Austin and Dallas.
And that's cool because it gives us the eight that we were all asking for.
That would make
you can at least see a system being set up now when before that was questionable.
With eight teams there, that links it there. Austin, Dallas. I don't know why they do the split cities. I guess just because to make
the logistics, though. Like, how's that going to work?
Check out the timing. Like, the Hershey family just gave $30 million investment into Envious. And it's what, like y'all set a $20 to $25 million buy-in to the league?
Yeah, I think it's like $20 million.
So, good timing all the way around.
Mm. Yep. I'm just curious. Like, I don't geography is not my strong suit. But, like, Miami-Orlando, like, how close in proximity is Miami-Orlando?
I mean, it would probably be somewhat similar to Dallas-Austin, but they're not right next to each other.
Oh, okay.
Miami is, like,
Orlando. We're going to look this up. Miami to Orlando is a 3.5-hour drive. That's the same thing as Austin to Dallas.
And there are plane trips from Austin to Dallas that it's like 30 minutes, right?
It's really not that big. I guess the issue is where are they going to reside? If I had to assume, it's going to be Austin because Blizzard has a main office in Austin. And
fun city for younger.
As far as esports goes, it seems to be gravitating towards Austin with DreamHack Austin being there. Yeah. The X Games are held there. It's just that seems to be more of a popular city to host events.
They had to include either a Houston or Dallas with it to have that make it more of like a bigger fan base, I guess you could say, rather than just Just doing Austin, I don't think would be enough.
Maybe this is to test the waters and splitting them up eventually.
Yeah.
You know, they could split it to where Austin gets a team, Dallas gets a team, Orlando gets one, Miami gets one. And
every
this is an
esports
easy way.
Event in Dallas as well, too, you know? So it's definitely a possibility.
Some say it's the birthplace of esports.
Mm.
Yeah, that's right. Suck it, Houston.
So now, with Envious being, again, per sources, the team there, I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah.
Now, with the way Envious has moved into... now, again, keep in mind, it doesn't have to be the players, right? With the Overwatch League, it's the organization that gets bought in. The players are free game.
Yeah.
So
is it like going to be a open like free agency for every team?
From what I've understood, they were going to do the draft. They ditched that. Like when the Overwatch League first was presented, it was going to be a draft. And that was the big thing, is that you're going to get a draft and all this stuff. I think logistically it came too much, and they were like, how can we even make this fair for the first year?
And how do you get players to move?
I have a thought on that. Like, all right. So, yeah, I mean, I like the way this is going and kind of it's drifting towards traditional sports, but it's tough. I mean, it's baby steps, right? You can't just like ask a young 20 something to kind of, you know, a European guy or, you know, to just uproot himself and move to just kind of out of nowhere, right? Like, I just got drafted by Austin Dallas. Okay.
Well, and you got to be able to play with people you can communicate with. Like, doing a draft is just a little unrealistic.
This gives a little bit more power to the player, which
kind of sucks for organizations that have all these players that their org is not going to be part of the league.
Now, so to branch onto that, okay, and this is something that Richard Lewis did a quick snippet on his YouTube and podcast, if you listen to it, where Blizzard has basically, when Overwatch first started and all these teams were getting into it, right? To kind of precursor this, if you didn't know, Team Liquid just bowed out of Overwatch.
Yeah.
Pretty big deal, because Team Liquid is like easily a top five name in esports as far as organization goes.
AZK, welcome to CSGO.
And, that's right. I didn't even think about that. Yep. So he probably left, and Liquid was probably like, whatever. There's no point in rebuilding
at this point, right? No point in starting a new team.
Because Blizzard, and this is what rubbed a lot of owners the wrong way, which might explain the rapid decrease in them. Of course, the Overwatch League, we've even talked about it on the show, that it just priced out a lot of teams, right? Laser Kittens being, I think, one of them that was kind of like, yo, we can't do this. Like, we can't...
The Miami Flamingos probably aren't going to make it in there.
We can't do $20 million. And Blizzard told these organizations, hey, don't sign your players. Like, don't sign them to ridiculous contracts, because then we have to buy them out. So just don't do it. And that rubbed a lot of organizations wrong for obvious reasons.
I would sign them to the biggest contract I can and then make them have
and just tell them to shove it.
Well, they get to pay a buyout.
Right. So that, or they don't buy them out and the player can't play.
They would buy them out.
So that's one. That's
they want this to be the best
league.
That's
a backfire, though, that could happen, depending on if they're like, we don't need your fourth man, okay?
Yeah.
Like, but so that's one of the reasons why a lot of teams have bowed out, because, for example, AZK pretty much left because he was unbanned in CSGO, so he left Team Liquid for all intents and purposes. Team Liquid's looking at their roster, and they're like, listen, this Overwatch League is about to start. How the hell are we going to convince one guy to commit to our team?
And we can't even commit to him.
If we can't commit to him.
Yeah.
So that's a thing that rubbed a lot of teams the wrong way, which is why you see a lot of teams and organizations leaving if they aren't going to be a part of the league. I understand the outrage on, you know, on Reddit, on Twitter, on whatever forum or group you're a part of. I get the outrage and sounding the alarms, but again, we've hinted at the last episode, this is not your normal esports league. This is not ESL where you're invited. This is where you are paying in to play with them.
Yeah, I'm still on that. I'm good.
Their goal is to, you know, break away from traditional esports and kind of just become their own entity, like their own thing. So I don't really think they care about, you know, Team Liquid's feelings or what have you. They're more concerned about just the overall sustainability of the league, and they want this league to last. I mean, it's part of the buyout. Like, you know, I believe from the other episodes, it was $20 million to buy in, but you don't see any revenue sharing for like, what, 5 years or 4 years or something like that?
I think it was five.
You know, something ridiculous. So they want this to be long-lasting, sustainable, and if they hurt a couple of traditional, quote-unquote, you know, esports teams' feelings, then whatever, dude, you know?
You're not their target. You're not their demo. Yeah. It's they right. want the guys who want to play for them, and it's not anything that it's not a knock on Liquid. You either A, you don't want to pay $20 million, which is completely understandable, or A, you don't have $20 million to pay, and that's again completely understandable.
Yeah, the only way right. this would be super disappointing to me is if the best players are not in this league. Like right. you want to see,
and that's
with
not
such a
case,
limited
though.
Number of teams. Like you have to have the best players. Yes. You can't have overpowered teams grouping up and like six of the teams are now irrelevant and people are playing an outside league. So I'm still, as y'all know, like
you're
kinda,
on the
I'm
fence.
Teetering. Like right. I'm waiting to lean one direction
See,
or
I'm,
the other.
And I'm completely bought in. Like I'm hyped for yeah. it. I can't wait to have the structure. One day I hope for like a salary cap so you can start talking salary cap talk, which my God, as someone who pays attention to regular traditional sports, that's like a dream to have that in esports, just to have the drama.
I think it's cool that they are putting a structured league together. Like, I'm not opposed to that. I'm just opposed to, like, the timelines that are getting drawn out here and how long this is all taking to happen at
this point. The one thing, speaking of timeline, and I talked about this at work today with Brett, is the fact that, and one thing that someone has, I haven't heard anyone brought up, so this is a TCR exclusive opinion. The fact that this is not only people investing in Blizzard, but it's Blizzard putting a huge investment in faith in Overwatch. Like, this is basically, if you were wanting to get into a game or into a scene, and you were worried that, Call of Duty, they're going to come out with a new one next year, or, you know, even Counter-Strike, there's always that rumor in the background that Valve is going to come out with Counter-Strike 2, you know, with the new engine, and it's going to change. This is Blizzard basically saying, look, Overwatch isn't going anywhere. Like, even if it's, you're not going to have an Overwatch 2 anytime. They're going to build on to Overwatch what they have now. They're going to continue that character.
Like a League of Legends or Dota.
It's going to be a League of Legends or Dota where, and it's Counter-Strike as a whole, right? Where it's going to be here. For the
Counter-Strike's a little different because
it's
15 years old.
The
you know?
Scene, though,
yeah,
right. I know you've had like 1.6 and Source and now Go, but the scene itself, right? They're investing in the Overwatch scene to where this is not going to be even if season one for Overwatch League is terrible, like it's not going to be like a one and done thing. They
can't jump out.
No,
they have
can't.
Too much invested.
People are putting way too much money in this for Blizzard just to be like, oh, sorry, I guess we'll give you your money back. I guess what do we owe you? $20 million plus some interest.
Would they run a league for Destiny since the servers are on Blizzard? Or would that be like...
I don't know if that would be them or Activision.
Yeah,
or
I wonder how that would work. Because all the PC stuff is now going to be done through Blizzard servers.
Right.
So they'll be sitting in a pretty nice spot here for the foreseeable future if that's
I do not know. Only time will be able to tell because I don't really know officially how that Destiny shook out to where it even made it to Battle.net to begin with. That was completely out of left
field.
Happy
with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm cool, I guess. I'm glad that it's at least on a launcher I have and they didn't create their own launcher like every game does now.
Well, you know, you'll get, like, good security and stuff like that, too.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Oh, you talking about with
Hackers.
Blizzard?
Yeah, with Blizzard servers and all that. You know you'll have, like, competent people running the show.
Yes, that is true. Overall, like I said, to touch on with the Overwatch League, I am happy with where it's going. I understand the concern that people have. Richard Lewis even posted, again, going back to his podcast. Basically, I guess players went up to him and said, hey, what do you think about this player agreement that we have to sign? I agree that I don't agree with everything Richard Lewis said. He said he wouldn't sign it if it was him because it just seems to not have as much favor for the player. Because considering they don't sign this to play, they sign the player agreement to even be eligible to play, right? To even be signed,
like
you have to sign
by one of the top eight teams.
To become a free agent, you have to sign this paperwork.
Yeah.
Whether or not you ever actually play in the league or not, you
sign
away.
What were his biggest arguments to it?
So one was the fact that you're basically signing away all your rights to your likeness and everything. They basically have rights to whatever stream you put out there with Overwatch on it, your pictures, everything.
So they would
like
own
that.
Your Twitch stream?
I don't think they
See,
would own
your, I don't know that.
They don't own your Twitch stream. I think the way I interpret it is they don't have to ask permission to use clips from your Twitch.
Oh, okay.
Again, like yeah. I said, it's one of those, how much do you care, yeah. right? Me personally, I don't care.
Yeah.
Do whatever. You know, people are like, I can't let the government look at my computer. Bro, if you look at my internet history, that's your own nightmares, okay? Like, I don't need to worry about what you see on my computer. It's all legal. It's weird, but it's legal. You know, I don't need you to, whatever, to look at this. You want to share my Twitch stream? Share my Twitch stream.
I'm kind of curious now.
Yeah.
You couldn't find
it. I wonder, like, the big Overwatch streamers out there, these are guys that have no desire to be pro, right?
The Moon big Moon. Ones out
there on Twitch. Yeah, like yeah. Moon Moon, Tim the Tap Man, Tim's Bay.
No, not my bay.
Totally kidding. But, you know, it's exposure. They're giving you exposure, and that's only going to help their, you know, their likeness and their outside, you know, business and ventures into Twitch. So I don't see it being a negative at all, to be honest. I mean,
yeah, I mean, like I said, I can see from a point of where like the indefinite portion can be bothersome, but I'm as a disclaimer, I'm pretty much like I like to believe good intentions are out there and people mean good things.
You're so
I'm just a pure heart. That's just the guy I am. And I just don't think that like any of this is an ill intention on Blizzard's part, right? Sure, some of it might be overly wordy and it might have legal lingo in the contracts and everything like that. Bottom line is, you want a chance to play professional video games? Sign it. And I'm you know, it's yes, does it suck that you have no say in it? Sure, of course. That's a contract, though. They all suck. You know, it's not like Blizzard's going to just give you everything you need.
It's not like they're totally screwing you either. You know, it's not like totally one-sided.
And another thing Richard Lewis said, in short, I'm kind of paraphrasing this, so don't take it all to heart, but it was the fact that like 50,000 was the minimum, and normally that's like the baseline that people do, right? Like players are going to get paid 50,000 because it's the minimum. And then you'll have like people like Siegel or the popular guys get
more.
They can
negotiate whatever they want.
That's on the player's part.
Yeah. So saying 50,000 is the minimum, 1,000 is the minimum.
And again,
this is only a big deal if that number is like a super high number, right?
Right.
Having a bare minimum doesn't mean much.
Right. And I understand that you probably will get players starting off at 50. It's the first season. Of course they're going to get paid the minimum and then they're going to adjust from there. This is what you do. Sign a 1 or 2 year deal for the minimum, and then renegotiate. That's contracts.
People will also wait for like the best player to sign and see like, oh, well, he's getting like 200K.
This guy's getting this much.
So now,
hey, you know, Austin Dallas is going to pay me this, but you
like
know,
it might
Boston
not
just mentioned this much to me.
It
what
might
are
not
you
happen
do?
The first time around, but they will eventually create a value in a market for themselves, right?
I mean, look at regular sports, right? This is why people freak out when a quarterback gets paid X amount of dollars because it's like, great, you just set the bar now for every quarterback in the
Kirk
league.
Kirk Cousins is about to get like $150 million and look at who he is, you know? So
I mean, was it at one point Cam Newton the highest paid quarterback?
It's like you said, it's the next one every time. Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Now it's, you know, David Carr is like the highest. It's like the one after
it's
another.
Every year you're going to get it.
They'll set their own market and their own value for each other over time.
Ridiculous, but I am looking forward to the Overwatch League. And one thing I'm looking forward to is your guys' opinion on the International 7. Because overall, you might have dabbled, but this is the first year for both Brett and you, Anuj, where you're actually watching the International 7 on my order, because we know who runs this show. And
whatever, man.
How do you like it, Anuj? I know you said you were actually been digging it.
It was like hard to watch with your dogs barking at me.
This is
in
true.
Point
now,
blank range.
Are
like
you guys watching the newcomer stream?
I watched a little bit of both. And
the casters are the same. This year they're doing the same casters.
Yeah.
Before it used to be completely different casters, and the newcomer stream they would explain a lot. Now you just have like the hints in the corner, which are still nice. Like when they bring up an item, it will pop up saying, "Hey, this is the item they're talking about."
Usually watching on my iPad in bed.
Right.
So it's like hard to see some of that stuff. But yeah, it's been like, I mean, it's been fun to watch. I think it's awesome, like the presentation, even the in-game presentation. Like some things that I found are really cool is like when they're playing, the flags of the teams are in the game. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the players see it that way, yeah. But if they do, I think that's like really neat to just a little extra hype
well,
for
and
that
like
event,
if
right?
If you are defending champions of an international, your base will have the shield there.
Oh, see? Something else I didn't know. But again,
so
I think
notice,
that stuff is like...
Though there are no defending champions in this one, but that's over. Besides the point.
Yeah, it's just neat. I mean, I thought the presentation's been good. The gameplay has been good. I watched the Evil Geniuses upset, not all the games, but I was, you know, in and out watching it. It's just, I mean, it's exciting because you also know what's on the line, so it's almost a sense of, like, I'm nervous watching them play. I'm like, oh my
because
gosh, there's, like,
the
so
difference,
much riding on
the
this.
The difference of you winning this match, for example,
like, oh, yeah,
like
the
Team
prize
Secret
jumps?
And Evil Genius, right, they lost, right, or Digital Chaos and TNC, they all four were eliminated. If they would have won one more game, it would have doubled their prize pool.
That's crazy. I mean, the lowest, I think, was what, 60,000 or
60,
something?
60,000 was, yeah. Fnatic and Hellraisers. They got last.
So that's kind of what I was watching. Is as I was watching that, I'm like, oh gosh, if they lose, what are they getting versus, you know, if they move up a little bit. So.
And I know I hate it because I'm always the preacher. And actually, one of our listeners were talking to us on Twitter at the Center Ring where he was wanting us to go a little bit more in detail about the prize pools and our opinions on them. And my opinion's always been, I hate the fact that we talk about prize pools. My hope one day is that it's like the Super Bowl, right? We talk about the game, we talk about the players, but never bring up the money. I understand, though, in esports, that's a huge deal right
now.
Yeah. And right now, yeah, I mean, it's a ridiculous prize pool, and it's fun to watch.
Because there's no true Super Bowl?
That's my endless battle that will never
Yeah, be because we don't have a true Super Bowl in esports for, like, each sport, really. The prize pool is what kind of sets that bar. You know, like the majors, they're all million-dollar tournaments, and you're like, these are the big ones. You know, the pressure on the players to know how much pressure they have riding on it, it's cool because they're like, what, 18 to 20 years old
yeah,
playing
not,
for this? It's like insane.
They're not that old. Brett, what about you? What is your kind of first impressions of the TI?
All right, so this goes with anything I watch, you know, esports related. There's three things that I'm looking for. Does it look nice? My mind just went blank. Oh my
god! Does it look nice?
All right. Does it look nice? I want to be able to see stats. And is the observing good? You know, I watched a match today, a full match that lasts forever. By the way,
Dota couldn't last forever.
But,
in fact,
but,
right
now,
okay, it is done. I wonder who won. Continue. I'm gonna look this up.
Okay, so from a visual standpoint, it's really nice. Even when they're like picking and banning matches, you got like that 3D view where the characters are in front of the you know, where the players stand. So it kind of looks like, you know, the players are just in front of them saying, you know, like, what's up? You know, I like that. I think that's cool. The gameplay was actually you know, the visuals. You know, Dota is a pretty game, so you know, I can get into that. I can watch that. From an observing standpoint, I really didn't feel like I missed anything. Like all the important kills, you know, they even do that triple split screen mm-hmm. deal. Like if there are multiple fights going on at the same time, yeah, you know, you don't miss any action there. So I really like that. And lastly, stats. I like the fact that you can kind of see who's doing well on the top left hand corner of the screen. They got the you know, the money,
yeah, the
situation.
Money and all the
like,
the stats,
yeah,
going on
so
there.
So you know, for you know, from someone that, you know, hasn't really played Dota, I've tried it once, I can watch this and be entertained, and that's all you can really ask for to bring in new people, right? So
no, and I'm, like I said, I'm glad you guys enjoy it because I enjoy the hell out of Dota. I know we don't talk about it a lot on the show, but that's mainly just because I know you guys don't watch it and it'd be kind of boring just me sitting up here giving my opinions on it. And I would love for us to get a little bit more into the Dota scene. Just, it's there. It's worth bringing up. And I'm glad that you guys are enjoying the TI.
You know what else has been funny in the TI? Do you watch the exit interviews?
Yes, with Machine. And
man,
they are
rough,
every
dude.
Time Machine has to do an interview, he always tweets out, like, please, please don't let me. Like, he's like, this is the hardest time I've ever
so
had.
It's so funny. I mean, not so funny, but there's some of them that are really
so
quite funny. They're like really uncomfortable. If somebody's grabbing the mic and he's holding on to it, unfortunately, some of the poor guys, like, their English is really bad, so it makes for a really awkward interview. And I mean, I saw some of the funniest ones so far, and that's been just as entertaining to me as the games have been.
And I do love, like, the little, I don't know what you call them, like, intermission videos that they have going on. You know what I'm talking about? Like, with Sir Action Slacks and yeah, well, it's like the funny stuff where Casey and Sir Action Slacks, they'll do, there was one really uncomfortable one. So they're sitting outside in front of the venue wanting to interview fans and stuff. This is, I think, right before day one of the main event. It had to have been before the main event because they were standing out front of Key Arena and trying to interview fans about the event. And one guy they walk up to and they're like, "Hey, what are you doing?" Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, "Oh, I'm working. I'm at the bike shop down the street." And they're like, "Oh, so do you know Dota?" And he's like, "I don't know what that is." And it was like just a random
perfect guy to ask.
Yeah, like he was just walking around to see what was going on. Yeah. And they picked him and he was just like, "Yeah, I don't care about you nerds. Like, I'm going to go back to my bike shop now. Thanks, losers." And it was just kind of, it was like you said, it was so uncomfortable because you could tell they were just like, "How did we pick the one person? There's one dude."
The analysts have been good.
Out of the 1,000 people.
Like, I've been enjoying hearing the analysts. I think they do a good job of just breaking.
Day 9 is doing a really good job at hosting, considering he's relatively new to Dota in general. Machine's always good. The analyst is on point. Right now, it's
who's really the main guy? Like, it seems like the main desk host.
Day 9.
Day 9. Okay, yes. So he also does the taller guy, right? Doesn't he do like the gamer show also on E3? Like, he's like the main host the last couple years for it.
Sure.
Anyways, that's where he's popular, I knew him from. Right. So I saw him on there, and then it was just, you know.
Yeah, no. Overall, the talent is really good there. I haven't seen though. I don't understand. Like, I maybe I'm missing it. Maybe they're on different streams, but I don't see like Shiva or anything there. Maybe I'm crazy. Liquipedia says they're there. I haven't seen them though. I know she had issues going on. Maybe I'm missing it. But just talking about some highlights from here, Cloud9, they were eliminated by Team Empire in the first round of the lower bracket. I understand, like, I was listening to a podcast earlier today, and they were saying it was disappointing because Cloud9 had a chance to go all the way. And I'm the exact opposite feeling, where, man, I felt like they were playing with house money. Cloud9, keep in mind, just recently announced that they disbanded in May. In May, the Cloud9 was like, "No, this team is done." And then just July 20th announced this new roster. So, I mean, it hasn't even been a month yet. And, I mean, it's just there. Yeah, I understand that they picked up a roster. But even then, it's kind of like they're fresh, right? It's a fresh group of guys trying to adjust to that play style. So, it's just...
Hey, Brett, timestamp this for Tim not believing Cloud9 is going to win a tournament.
Oh, yeah, I know, right?
First off, going in, I thought they were going to win. I'm just not surprised when they lose, which is just, that's just normal for Cloud9. I mean, you know, set the bar so high.
And summer's over at this point, so.
Other teams, though, that are pretty crazy that they're already out of the tournament, which is just part of the TI, though, that you have these teams. First off, All American Hope is gone. That ended today with LGD Gaming beating Digital Chaos. OG is still in it. They are playing LG tomorrow. LGD, that is. Let's see other big ones here. Oh, well, you talked about it earlier. Team Empire, to me, is the shock of the tournament. Of course, we talked about it last week where Resolution had to fill in because they were having passport visa issues, one of the two. And they eliminated Cloud9 in a best of one, eliminated Evil Genius 2-0. Evil Genius is a fan favorite to make it all the way every year. And now they're playing Team Liquid tomorrow, I think. Yes, they are playing them tomorrow in the loser's bracket. So, again, they are constantly up against the wall this pretty much the whole tournament. Looking at the upper bracket, and then Team Liquid beat Team Secret. They eliminated them. In the upper bracket, though, some of the bigger, crazier things is, first off, when they played the pool, it was China against the world. Literally, there was 4 matches up. China had a team in each one. So realistically, this could turn out to be an entire China final, which happened 1 year. I want to say 15, maybe. Chinese Dota bores me to death, personally for me. For the longest time, they've been their slower pace, which, Brett, you witnessed during the newbie Invictus Gaming game, which finally ended, by the way. Newbie took it 2-1. That started when I got home from work around 5 and ended when we started this podcast around like 8:30 it ended.
So does that put them in the semifinals?
It puts Newbie in the upper bracket finals, which I guess would be the semifinals, you know, with how they play it out. Invictus is going to play the winner of OG and LGD tomorrow. I think Virtus Pro and LGD Forever Young, LFY, which they dominated in the group stage, they are playing right now. So whoever loses that has to play the winner of Team Liquid and Empire.
You follow
is that tonight also?
That is tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. The last game today is Virtus Pro and LFY. Which LFY, they're a favorite now going into the main event. They turned into a favorite. They dominated the group stage going 14-2, which was kind of unexpected from a lot of people. In fact, if you told me LFY was going to go 14-2 in the group stage before group stage, I'd probably call you a liar. So there it is, boys. The International. We are just in the midst of the main stage, and it only gets better from here because people go home, and it's very sad to see the look on their faces. But the cool thing with the International to me is not only the prize pool, but this is truly like the one event in esports where it's like this, right? Where it is basically a Super Bowl-type atmosphere.
Yeah.
Let's get, though, into some e-news. We have, let me get to this page here, a little bit going on. CSGO, again, we're not going to get too far into CSGO right now for e-news, but we will discuss all of this in more details next week. This is worth bringing up. In shocking news, in fact, one that I did not even hear about until it basically was announced, a news you informed us today, Zeus rejoins Na'Vi after getting bought out. His contract, Na'Vi paid Gambit $100,000.
Yeah, right around there. It's crazy.
Doesn't seem like that
much. Seems pretty cheap.
Basically, forming on because Gambit ended up kicking their coach Kane off the team, and Zeus was like, "That's my boy, and you knew this, so
deuces
later." Seized is going back to Na'Vi. I don't know how that's going to work out.
Yeah, it worked out for Chris J. Might work out for Seized.
Yeah, but I thought there was more burnt bridges between Seized and Na'Vi.
No, there was definitely with tweets he put out like a little bit of a scorched earth feel. So
that's interesting. Sticko and Sunny.
Stiko.
And Sunny ended up joining with Mouse Sports, which I think that was always the rumor.
Well, Mixwell was always in the rumor too,
right?
You know, initially.
But it was always one of them.
Yeah, so that's good. Penta is probably freaking out after finally doing so well, now losing a top player.
And now Olaf and Dennis are really the last rumors to finally be judged, and we're kind of honestly hoping that that happens before next week, because that's the only reason we really didn't talk about all this in great details this week, because we're waiting on them to do something. The rumor is Olaf Meister is going to FaZe still, and Dennis
are saying the only offers he's getting is Godsend now, so... All off to FaZe, that'll make a fun,
a quick
fun topic.
Turn of the tables for Fnatic, where Olaf Meister and Dennis are the ones leaving now.
What's going to happen?
You had the Call of Duty World League. That started today with that huge, 32-team tournament here. I didn't get to watch much of it because, A, it's on MLG TV. Mainly, it's on Twitch, but I think it's still on delay. And I was at work, so I didn't get to watch much of it. So I won't pretend like I knew what the hell was going on. I do see here, though, Optic Gaming is 2-0. Envious, United, E-United, and Rise Nation all went 2-0. Allegiance went 0-1. Sad news with Allegiance going 0-1 because this is their farewell song, their whatever they call it, swan song.
One thing I noticed about that Optic Gaming group, do you still have 3UP's number, their owner's number? We need to hit up and ask him why his
what's going on there. You know what? I could probably find his phone number somewhere if he even remembers us. I'm sure he was.
What is that, like 3 tournaments in a row or something for Optic before heading into this one?
Yeah, they went on a roll here. But Allegiance, as far as a franchise, or the organization Allegiance, did announce earlier this week that, or I guess last week, they are closing shop. They're bowing out of the esports scene, which was, I don't know, it's kind of weird to me that you hear any team is officially closing the doors right now, just with how big esports is and everything like that. You would think that they would at least minimize to one, because like they had guys in Smash, they had guys in Halo, Call of Duty,
Yeah, to like close the door and everything. I mean,
yeah, to like
lost all types of funding,
just anything like that. Know. So I mean, they've been having a rough go at success. When they first got into the scene, it was with Halo. They got second at the 2016 Halo World Championship with Naded on the team, and it was a big deal. So that's kind of where they got their name, and it just never really picked up from there. So always sad to see an organization leave like that. Moving on here, lots of other news. Did you guys see the teaser that Valve did?
Gosh, it was the worst thing ever.
First off, it's an awful teaser, if you know what I'm talking about. But it's the Valve teased yesterday during the International, their new Dota card game, Artifact.
I was like so hoping for something amazing game to be announced, and
it was a card game, for a Dota card game. A, the teaser showed absolutely they could have just put Dota card game on the screen and accomplished the same thing.
They're making it like a laning game. It'll be just like the actual like Dota, the way
Dota
is set up. It's going to be like a lane
card game.
Card game.
First off, I don't need another card game in my life. Okay,
no.
Hearthstone was okay. lots of RNG though, so I stopped.
Gwent has been fun.
Gwent is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I felt like that is a more chess-like card game, and it makes me think, and I enjoyed Gwent. And then you had Bethesda come out with Elder Scrolls that looks exactly like Hearthstone. And then you have all those other weird knockoff ones down the way, and now you have this. And it's like, bro, I don't need another card game.
Like, this is not coming out with a new game. This is just...
No.
This is just a filler, like...
Yes.
It's not much more than that.
This is just... another way for you to connect the games, and it's just, was anyone asking for it? It's Valve, so that it's Dota, so it's gonna catch some steam. But as far as like esports wise,
people play, but it's not anything exciting for 90% of the audience.
Also, here though, boys, we're real sports now because it's at least been official discussed that Paris 2024 will make a bid for esports being an official Olympic event.
It'd be pretty cool. I'm gonna be so far away, so.
So my very uncool esports podcast host opinion, I think it's dumb. I think it's the dumbest thing to put esports in the Olympics. Right now,
because when I think of Olympics, it's amateur athletes, and it's like peak, you know, just it's a show of just physical dominance. These are the, you know, the best athletes in the world physically, right? And I just don't really think esports needs to be in the Olympics. I honestly
look at some of the sports in the Olympics, though.
Yeah,
like,
no, and I
like it's
I
not
get
like
that,
every sport is.
But I felt the same way when esports was at X
it,
Games.
Though?
I felt the same way when esports was at X Games, and the athletes there were pissed because it's like, you know, I just broke my back and leg to win this gold medal. This guy all of a sudden gets an X Game medals for playing Halo? And I was like, you know what? I understand that because you have worked your entire life breaking bones
X
and
Games
sweating.
And partnering up with Halo, I felt like was different just because
it makes
there's
more
such like
right
opposite. Now, granted, those people probably play video games, so that's where the tie-in
comes together.
But in terms of like
crowd.
Extreme sports, like that's what the
right.
X Games are. And then video games, right? There's like such a polar difference. But in
same
the Olympics,
crowd,
like, look at like the people that like throw the ball on ice and they're
the
just
curling?
Grooming, whatever.
But
curling,
even then,
like,
though, it's just it's.
I get
different
it. Like if it
me.
Wasn't there, I'm not gonna be
like,
butthurt about
right,
it, right?
No, I'm not.
But,
I'm not trying to make an argument either way. I'm just saying, and even right now, right? Like, esports has been around forever. Like for us, it's like esports has been around. This is second nature. But for the mainstream, it's brand new. Right? Like, I even talked about
like
last week on the radio, my radio station that I work for. Someone was asking me and said, hey, I just recently heard esports. I'm like, esports has been around forever, dude. But it's like, I don't need this forced onto people on the Olympics.
Yeah, part of the problem is the longevity of games, right? So, like, a game that might be popular
every
4
Olympics
years, like, what are the chances that it's going to be popular 4 or 8 years from now, you know?
Agreed. I 100% agree. We'll see what happens there, though. Like I said, I'm pretty sure that's been a rumor that always is going on as far as Olympics and esports and all that mess. It won't happen. Let's be real.
No.
It won't happen.
Not right now.
The Olympic Committee took out wrestling for crying out loud. They're not going to replace it with esports.
It'd be like a VR esport game where it actually does require some athleticism.
That would at least make a little bit more sense. Yeah. But what about VR curling?
So that'd be awesome.
That'd be pretty cool. So there is that. And just like that, there is the show. I thank you all for listening. If you made it this far, I definitely appreciate you and I love you. Hit us up on Twitter at The Center Ring. Let us know how we did on the show. Correct us on our errors. Or don't. Just say that we're right and go with that. Say per sources. No one can argue with you. Hit us up on our website, tcr.gg, on iTunes. If you listen on iTunes, be sure to leave a review.
If you can.
If you can, if it works, I don't know. But until then, we will be back next week. We will discuss all CSGO roster moves. Anything else that happens, we'll have the Overwatch League World or the Overwatch World Cup wrapping up. So that will be all back here next week on The Center Ring. Again, Twitter at The Center Ring. We do have a Discord, everything there. I'm just rambling on at this point to shoot for your likes. For Anuj, for Brett, I'm Tim. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.